Well, good morning, everyone. So I don't know if you remember, there was an old Verizon commercial that had aired like a long time ago. It aired from like 2001 all the way to 2011. So for those of you who are older, you might remember this commercial. For those of you who are younger, I don't know, you might have some remembrance of it, like depending on what time or when you were born. But it's a Verizon commercial. And in this Verizon commercial, there is the guy who's known as, you know, basically the Verizon guy. So you may remember him with glasses and short black hair. And in this commercial, he would take this old cell phone. It's a flip phone, basically. So this is before smartphones were around. And he would appear in random places all around the world in these type of commercials. So for example, with his flip phone, he would appear out of a manhole, and suddenly he's in China. And then he would say this very iconic phrase, "Can you hear me now? Good." And then all of a sudden you see him somewhere else in the middle of the woods. Same thing, the flip phone. "Can you hear me now? Good." And then next thing you know, you see him in the middle of the Arctic Circle, you know, with his clothes on. It's very cold. There's snow all around. Same thing with his flip phone. "Can you hear me now? Good." So obviously the point of this commercial is to basically show that for Verizon, it has a very, very good signal strength, no matter where you are in the world. Now, here's a disclaimer. I am not being paid by Verizon to advertise for them, okay? I'm just going to say that. But actually, the actor who plays this Verizon guy, his name was Paul, what's his name again? Whatever, I forgot his name. But eventually, he actually betrayed Verizon, because in 2016, he started actually being a spokesperson for Sprint. So, I don't know, then now he's promoting that Sprint has very good cell service and cell reception. So, I want to ask you all a question. You know, just because like Verizon supposedly has good signal strengths all around the world, how good is your signal strength with God? How good is your signal strength with God when it comes from hearing for him? Do you have an open line of communication with God? Or maybe wherever you are, maybe there are some dead spots in your communication with him. How would you rate your communication with God in terms of bars? Is it 2 bars, 3 bars, 4 bars? Or maybe the signal strength is none. So if God was trying to get through to you, would he be able to say to you, "Can you hear me now? Good"? How well is your communication with God? And as a Christian, you have to know that God is calling out to you, especially when it comes to serving him. It can be sometimes hard, I know, for us to hear God's call because we don't know what we're actually listening for. We don't know whether God will actually audibly hear God, or maybe we may hear God maybe from a prompting of our hearts, but we don't know, is that really God speaking to me or is it not? So we know that it's hard to recognize God's call, and sometimes it's hard to actually obey that call when it comes to serving it. So how well is your communication with God? So this is what we'll be focusing today in today's passage. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them out. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. Okay? So the book of 1 Samuel is in the Old Testament. It's after the book of Ruth. And as we look at this book, we're going to be looking particularly at chapter 3. So 1 Samuel chapter 3. In this passage, we'll see that God was calling out to a man. Actually, at that time, he was just a young boy named Samuel. He was calling out to Samuel to call him to be a prophet, to serve him as a messenger. And at this time, you know, Samuel was a young boy, and he was ministering in the temple under Eli, who was a priest. So this is the background of this passage, and I hope that you're all there right now, so we'll read it together. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Please follow along as I read. This is the word of the Lord. Verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. And at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, he was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not gone yet out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord said to Samuel, and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. Verse 6. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. And he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I had spoken concerning his house from the beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Verse 15. Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli said to Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do to you and also more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything, and he hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. This is the word of God. Would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and again, just like every single time, Lord, we humbly ask you to teach us and open our eyes. Lord, we may be reflecting upon ourselves and may think, Lord, maybe I don't have good communication with you. Maybe I try to hear and I seek to hear your voice and your call and your will for my life, but sometimes it is just so hard to hear from you. Father, if we are in that situation, especially if you're a Christian, Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us. Help us to understand how we can hear your call for us and how we are to respond to that call, especially when it comes to serving you, especially when it comes to seeing the needs all around us so that we can glorify you in our service, so that we can further your kingdom. Father, we seek to glorify you, and we lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. So from this passage that we just read, we're going to be answering three main questions, okay? So if you'd like to take notes, you can write these three questions down. So the first question that we're going to answer is this. What kind of people does God call to serve him? Okay? What kind of people does God call to serve him? And then we'll move on to our second question that we'll ask. How can we recognize God's call for us? Okay? So how can we recognize God's call for us? And then finally, the third question, why can it be hard to obey God's calling? So why can it be hard to obey God's calling? So let me review those three questions again. Number one, what kind of people does God call to serve him? Number two, how can we recognize God's call for us? And number three, why can it be hard to obey God's calling? So we'll start with the first question. What kind of people does God call to serve him? So as we were reading in this passage at the beginning, here we see a young boy named Samuel. And he was ministering in the temple. He was not a priest, but he was working under Eli, who was a priest. And one night, as Samuel was lying down, he was ready for bed, he was very tired, he hears a call. he hears someone shout out his name, Samuel. And then Samuel got up and he said, okay, I wonder who it is who's calling me. So he thinks that it is Eli, the priest who's calling him. So he got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. Did you call me? And Eli was waking up and said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Go back and lie down. So Samuel did exactly that. And then it happened a second time and a third time. Each time, Samuel, he was so like comfortable lying down. He was so tired, ready for bed. He had his covers over him. But then when he heard his name called out, Samuel, Samuel, in obedience, he got up out of his comfortable bed. Didn't think it was annoying thing. Didn't think that it was just a fluke or anything. And every time he just went to Eli, the priest, and said, here I am. And every time Eli would say, I did not call you, go back to sleep. But yet, this happened for three times. And on the third time, Eli knew that something was up. Eli knew that something was different. And then he perceived that it was God who was calling out to Samuel. So I want to focus on the response of Samuel. Every time Samuel heard his name called, what did he do? He didn't think about himself. He didn't think, oh, I'm already comfortable in my bed. I don't want to get up, you know, and I'm already tired. It's the end of the day. No, he didn't think about himself. He obediently got up, no matter how he felt, and obeyed, and he responded to his name who was being called. And even though he thought that it was Eli calling for him, he didn't know that it was actually God who was calling out to him. So let's answer our first question here. What kind of people does God call to serve him? Here's the answer. God calls those who are selfless and who are willing to obey. I'll say that again. God calls those who are selfless and who are willing to obey. And again, Samuel, he demonstrated this commendable character which qualified him to the ministry that God was calling him to qualify him to the ministry that God was entrusting to him, mainly to be a prophet, to deliver God's messages to the people of Israel. So when I was younger, I had many experiences where I was pretty disobedient. I don't even think, oh, Ivan, he's such a good person. No. I had my disobedience when I was a child. So I would remember back then, I would just love to play on the computer. You know, we didn't have the internet like we have today. We have something that's called dial-up. You know? And when you're using dial-up internet, you know, you have to connect to the phone line, and then you hear all these weird beeping noises, and it usually takes like a good 5 or 6 minutes to connect to the internet. And here's the other thing. If you are using dial-up internet, you cannot use the phone, no, because it was using the same line. So back then, I always loved to just play games on the computer. And my mom, after having dinner ready, she would call out to me. She's like, Ivan, dinner's ready. Come to the table. And then I'll be like, oh, no, wait, 5 more minutes. Wait, let me finish this level here. Let me beat this game. Because, you know, sometimes you can't just stop at your game right there, no? Because you have to, if you stop right there, you lose all your progress. Maybe until after you get to, like, the next save point. Then maybe you can stop a little bit and then go respond and go to dinner. So this happened many times where my mom would call me, Ivan, it's time for dinner. 5 more minutes, Mom. 5 more minutes pass. Ivan, it's time for dinner right now. So this is very, very annoying to her. And I think some of you may relate to that, because sometimes we have that type of disobedience. And now you think, me today, after like at least like 20 years later, here I am, you think that I would learn from my disobedience when I'm being called. But actually, I didn't realize that I had a little bit of disobedience in me too. Because actually earlier this week, Joyce, she had dinner ready. And she would call, say, Ivan, dinner is ready. And I am at my computer, that's a laptop now, I have good internet now, I'm in my office, and actually I was working on this sermon. I was like, oh, let me finish this up, okay? I'm trying to find the right wording for this sermon point that I had. So, she had to call me like 2 or 3 times. And then after I was finished with like, okay, this is the right wording for this sermon point. Okay, so what kind of people does God call to serve him? God calls those who are selfless and willing to obey. And I was like, oh. Because Then and there, I realized that I didn't have that characteristic of being willing to obey. Because even 20 years later, my wife still has to call out to me, and I still didn't obey, at least right away. I still went to dinner. She probably could have just withheld dinner from me and was like, no dinner for you. And my mom could have done the same thing as too. So this is the human nature that we have when it comes to people who are calling out to us. And I think you might relate to it as well. God may be calling you out today to serve him, but how do you respond? We may hear God's call and be like, tell God, oh, wait, let me wait, no, probably not 5 more minutes, but now's not the good time. Now I'm too busy. Oh, now I got other things that I have to worry about. Or I don't have the energy right now. You see, we make those type of excuses sometimes, and we don't have that selfless act. We don't have that sense of obedience, just like Samuel had when God had called out to him. So that's why we say, God calls those to serve him, those who are selfless, and those who have the willingness to obey. Obedience is such an important key for God to call you and for him to use you in service. So, I mean, think about it. If God was calling out to people and people just keep on making excuses and people aren't obedient, then, you know, in the end, we don't have God's work being done. In the end, we don't see God's kingdom being fulfilled and being furthered. We don't have people who are being able to hear from God's word and to know about the good news of Jesus Christ if Christians are disobedient to God's call. So I want to ask all of you, how may God be calling you to serve him today? No, and if he is calling out to us, will we have that character of selflessness? Will we have that character of the willingness to obey? If you are a Christian, if you have believed in Jesus Christ, and you know God wants you to be involved in his plan to be able to serve, to be able to further his kingdom, and especially if you are baptized. You know, if you are baptized, you have made a commitment before God that you believe in him, that you have accepted him as your Savior. You have made a commitment before the whole church that you believe in him, and that also that you're committed to each of the church members to serve alongside of him. So maybe you are baptized, but maybe you don't find yourself serving in an area. But I hope for you to understand that God is calling out for you to serve. It's just a matter of how is he calling out to you, whether you can recognize it and listen, and whether you're able to obey. Because if you look around, there are a lot of needs, not only in the church, but even in the greater mission field. You see, right now we can see that, you know, we have 5 seniors who are graduating, and our praise team is very small, especially for this coming semester. Is God calling you to step up and to be a praise team, to lead everyone in worship? There are needs for Sunday school teachers. There are needs for people to teach the children in the children's Sunday school. There are needs for people to be disciplers. There are needs for people to go out to be evangelists, to preach God's word. There are needs for people in the money and the blessings that God has given them to give to the church, to further the mission work. All these are many different ways for you to serve, but it's a matter of what is God calling you to do? And you have to recognize that he is calling you to do that. So how is God calling you to serve? And are you, and if you do hear God's call, do you have that willingness to obey? Do you have that character of selflessness? Just as we've seen in the example of Samuel, when he responded when God called out to him. So you may think, okay, I understand that I need to have this characteristic of being selfless and having the willingness to obey. But you might be in this position where you have this willingness, but maybe you find it very hard to recognize God's call. Because for one sense, you may be saying, oh, I might be too, I think I'm too young. You know, usually you see all the people who are serving in church, they're usually the older people, those who are more spiritually mature. But you see, you can't make that excuse because actually, look at Samuel. Samuel was just a young boy. In verse 1, when you see, now the boy Samuel, this word boy in Hebrew is actually used to describe a young teenager. So Samuel, I mean, we can guess he's probably like 12 or 13 years old at this time. So for some of you, you might be around that age. So if God can call a young person like Samuel at 12 or 13 years old, he can be able to call you even as an older person too. So you can't make age as an excuse. And you might, another excuse you may think, oh, well, God never called me before. I never heard God's voice. I never really heard him any other way prompting me to serve. So I don't think it's likely that he would call me. Well, you see, this is the same thing with Samuel at that time. Look at verse 7 in chapter 3. It says, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him." No, when it says that Samuel had not yet known the Lord, it doesn't mean that he's not a believer. It's just saying that God, he doesn't know the Lord in the sense that God had never spoken to him in that way before. You might be in the same situation. You may not have experienced God speaking to you, whether it's through his word, whether it's through prompting your hearts. Maybe you even audibly heard God in one way or another. Regardless, you might find yourself in that same situation, but yet God can still call out to you. And also, a third thing that we should also point out was the situation at this time. Look back in verse 1 in chapter 3. "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli," and focus on this, "and the word of the Lord was rare in those days." There was no frequent visions. So you have to understand, in this time period, even for Samuel, he had trouble recognizing God calling out to him, because at that time, God didn't really reveal himself that often through visions or even through speaking to people. So that was that situation. But yet in the end, Samuel was able to recognize God's call. So even for here today, we might not find it likely that God would actually audibly speak to you. You might think, oh, because it doesn't really happen that often, maybe that doesn't happen often to me too. But yet, we're in a similar situation. Just because it doesn't happen often doesn't mean that God wouldn't call out to you. See, Samuel recognized that, and I hope that you can recognize that as well. So specifically, we then move on to the second question then. How can we recognize God's call for us? So that is a big question. If we are willing to obey God's call, then we want to know, how can we actually recognize that call when God does call out to us? So let's pick it up in from verse 8 in chapter 3. Verse 8. "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time." Okay, so this is the third time. "And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.'" Then what did Eli do? "Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy." So it was Eli, the priest, who had perceived that it was God who was calling out to Samuel. In verse 9, "Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and if he calls to you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place." So then Eli, after recognizing that it was God calling out to Samuel, he gave specific instruction for Samuel to know how to obey that call. So let's answer our second question now. How can we recognize God's call for us? Here's the answer. We can recognize God's call through the confirmation of others. We can recognize God's call for us through the confirmation of others. So a couple of years ago, even like when I was as young as in middle school or in high school, I had felt that God was calling me to be full-time in ministry, to be a pastor. And how did I see that? Well, it was merely, from everyone's experience is different, but for God to call out to me, it was mainly the prompting in my heart. For whatever reason, I felt that I had to do nothing but to preach God's word. And even when I was in church, when I was seeing people preach, the pastors preach up in front, I don't know why I kept on seeing me in the future also preaching God's word in that sense. But here's the thing. Back then, I fought that call. Even though God was using those to call me to be a pastor, I did not want anything to do with that. No, I fought that call, and I said, it doesn't seem viable. I don't even know whether it's true or not. Maybe it's just my imagination, or maybe it's just my conscience within me. So you see, I had that struggle. And it wasn't until when I went to college, when I came out to RPI during my first year in college, where God had begun to make that call a little bit more clear. And this is part of the time when I started coming here to the church. And here's the thing that really amazed me the most. Because I never really shared my call to be a pastor with anyone, at least at that time. But yet, there were people in the church who would come up to me and ask me, oh, have you ever considered being a pastor? Or have you ever considered doing something like this full-time or doing some sort of a ministry? And I was like, how do you guys know this? I never said anything about this to anyone. But you see, I saw this as part of confirmation for God's call for me. Because apparently other people saw the same thing in me too. And God obviously had to have a part in that, into leading them to talk with me about it. And I also saw confirmation through God's word. As I was reading God's word, I see how, you know, to be an overseer is a good thing. So this is how God had used other people to confirm the call for me. And I think when we are struggling with God's call for us, we can also look for how other people may be confirming that call. So let's say that you are in a situation and you may be feeling God's prompting for you to serve on praise team, or for you to serve as a Sunday school teacher, or for you to serve in children's ministry, or for you to go out and evangelize to a particular friend or a particular family member. No matter how God speaks to you, even especially through God's word, God can speak to you through that way as well. But then you struggle. You may still wonder, is this just my own thinking? Is this just my own conscience? Is it just my imagination? Or is this really from God? How can we recognize whether that's true? No, I encourage you to pray about it, and I encourage you to see whether other people also see that same calling in you as well. Like, talk with someone, maybe someone who is older in the church, someone who's a Christian, who may be able to help you discern God's calling for you. And how God may be using you or calling you to serve in the church or wherever he may be telling you to serve. You see, we need to have the character of willingness. We need to have the character of selflessness. And then we need to recognize God's call. And we can do that through the confirmation of other people. But let's say that you have those two things down. You have the character, and then you recognize God's call. But then when it actually comes to the point of obeying God's call, that is a whole completely different thing, right? Because sometimes it can be very, very hard to obey God. Just as you know how sometimes it can be hard to obey your parents. It can be hard to obey your boss. It can be hard to even obey like other people in authority, because sometimes we just don't want to be told what to do. We just don't want to have other people control us. So this brings us to our third question that we'll ask. Why can it be hard to obey God's calling? Okay, let's pick it up again from here, from verse 9 again. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls to you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. So Eli recognized God's call, that it was God who was calling Samuel, so he gave him instructions to lie back down, and if he hears God's again, he is to tell God, here I am, your servant is listening. So what did God tell Samuel? Look at verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which two ears of everyone will hear it will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from the beginning into the end. And I'll declare to him that I'm about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. God was calling Samuel to be a prophet. And the first message that God was telling Samuel to deliver is a message of judgment. And it's not a message of judgment to anyone. It was a message of judgment to Eli, the priest. And do you know how close Eli was to Samuel? You know, Eli, he was his priest. He was basically a mentor to Samuel. He was basically raising up Samuel so that he can be able to do service in the temple. You know, they had this close relationship, but yet God wanted Samuel, as his first task as a prophet, to deliver this message of judgment to Eli. Because after all, Eli wasn't taking care of his family well. His two sons was named Phineas and, not Phineas and Ferb, like from that show, but Phineas and Hophaeus. And they were basically wreaking havoc in the temple. They were disrespecting the offerings that was being made and the meat sacrifice. They even took some from for themselves. So because of that, and Eli couldn't restrain his sons, you know, there had to become God's judgment for them. So this was the message that Samuel had to deliver to his beloved mentor and his close relationship with Eli, the priest. Imagine how hard that is when it comes to that. And so let's answer our third question. Why can it be hard to obey God's calling? So here's the answer. It can be hard to obey God's calling because it often requires us to leave our comfort zones. I'll say it again. It can be hard to obey God's calling because it often requires us to leave our comfort zones. So what did Samuel do after he heard this from God? Look at verse 15. Samuel lay until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. So imagine if you heard this type of calling from God, and you heard, oh, I have to deliver this type of message to someone who's very close to me? You know, I think, and it says Samuel lay until morning. So it's possible that he was just laying down. He couldn't get any sleep at all because he didn't know what to do. He was afraid to tell this message to Eli. But in the end, he went out of that comfort zone. In the end, he did tell Eli, the priest, what God had said to him. And Eli, by God's grace, accepted that message and accepted God's will. So we can understand, and we can probably relate why sometimes it is so hard to obey God's calling, because God requires us to step out of our comfort zone. So there once was a missionary named Adoniram Judson. So some of you may have heard from him. And in 1810, he had just graduated from college and from seminary, and he had a call to go to a fashionable church in Boston to become its associate pastor. And at that time, you know, it was a big and glorious thing, and everyone congratulated him. His dad was very proud of him for that. His mother and sister even rejoiced that they can be able to spend time with him because since they live so close as he do his life work. But then Adoniram Judson shook his head. Because he said this, my work is not here. He said, God is calling me beyond the seas. To stay here, even to serve God in this ministry, I feel would be only partial obedience, and I would not be happy in that. Because he knew that God was calling him to be a missionary overseas, to go bring the gospel to a different country. And eventually, he became a missionary to the country of Burma. See, in order for Adoniram Judson, this missionary, to obey God's calling for him, he had to go out of his comfort zone. And even had to go beyond the comfort zone of his family as well. He had to leave his mother and his sister because they wanted to stay with him. He had to go about trusting God for financial support because as a missionary, he didn't really get that much. And he had just recently gotten married to his wife named Anne. So no honeymoon, and he even had to convince Anne's father to let him to marry her because it even takes risks to go on the mission field, all the dangers that go about it. You know, going on the mission field, there's a lot of dangers, and he might even lose his life for that, and to the point of death. That's how willing he was to obey God's call. That's how willing he was to go beyond this comfort zone so that he can obey God's calling. And because Adoniram Judson obeyed that calling and he went to Burma, he had planted many churches there and had over 50,000 converts. And the influence there had made a change all around the world. And did you know that he even translated the first Bible in the Burmese language for them? So if it weren't for that, a lot of the people in Burma wouldn't even hear and have God's word. You see, we see this potential of pushing aside our comfort zones to obey God's call. Some of you may make the same or similar excuses and say, oh, if I serve in this way, it would just take too much more of my time. I have less time to study, less time to study for my SATs, and less time to be able to excel in my work and in career field. Or you may be afraid, oh, I'm afraid of what other people will think about me. Oh, you're a Christian? Oh, you're standing up out here doing all these public things? You might be scared as well, too. Or you may think, oh, I don't have that particular talent or that particular skill to serve. And you're just afraid to fail. You see, if God is calling you, and that is true, we need to push aside that comfort zone in order to obey him. We see the same issues even in Scripture as well. You know, Moses had to obey God's call to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, but he made the excuse saying that, oh, I'm not good at public speaking. Same thing with the prophet Jonah. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, but Jonah, he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he didn't want to see God's mercy upon those people there. He didn't want those people to be saved. So that was very uncomfortable for him. So I want us to understand this. You know, sometimes if we are doing God's will, if we are doing God's calling, we may feel that, oh, then we'll have peace in our heart. But that's not usually the case. Sometimes by obeying God's call, sometimes by doing what God wants us to do, it's something that is that doesn't bring peace in our hearts. Sometimes doing the right thing is a hard thing to do. God doesn't call us to live comfortable lives. God calls us to go beyond our comfort zones because only then and there we can be able to fully trust in God. Only then and then where we can be able to see that God, we can rely on God and trust in him. So I encourage you all, if you are trying to discern God's call for you and you find it very hard to obey him, then think about what are your comfort zones that you might have to give up. What are the comfort zones you might have to sacrifice so that God can be able to use you, so that there can be a greater fruit for people to come to know him. You know, I think a lot of times that is one of the biggest things that prevents us from serving in the church. So let us review everything that we've learned from this passage here in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Again, we had asked three questions and we had answered them. So let's review. Here's the first question. Again, number one, what kind of people does God call to serve him? And we said, God calls those who are selfless and who are willing to obey. Then we ask the second question, how can we recognize God's call for us? We can recognize God's call through the confirmation of others. So in addition to hearing God speak to us through his word and through promptings in our hearts, or whatever way that God may be using to call us, God can also confirm that call through others. And finally, we said number three, why can it be hard to obey God's calling? And we said, it is hard to obey God's calling because it often requires us to leave our comfort zones. Where are you in your relationship with God right now? Where are you in your communication with God? Do you have good service? Do you have good cell phone reception to God? How many bars would you rate your communication with God? Can we get to the point where God will say, can you hear me now? And he can be able to say, good, because he hears you responding in obedience to that call. You see, I think there are many needs here in the church for service and in the greater world for God's work to be done and completed. As Christians, this is such an important lesson for us to understand if we are to see God's will to be done. We are to obey his calling for us. Let's bow our heads as we pray and as we respond in worship. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to listen to you more. In this world where there can be a lot of distractions and we are in a culture where we want things done very quickly, very fast. Whenever we do something, we expect it to happen right away. But then, as a result, we don't have this idea where we can just be quiet, to sit down and just to listen to you speak, to listen to you speak through your word, to listen to you speak through our hearts, and to discern how you may be calling us. Father, I know that a lot of us, we may be in different walks with you. Some of us may be on fire for you, and we're serving in many different capacities, but it can be very burdensome because we have to do so much. But some of us, on the other hand, we may be a Christian, but we don't hear your call for us, or we don't find ourselves serving and even relieving the burdens of other people. Or we may be at a point where we aren't even a Christian, where we are still seeking to see whether you are true and real and whether you can provide us with salvation. Lord, no matter where we are in the stage of life, I pray that you would speak to us and reveal more of us, reveal more of yourself to us so that we can be able to listen, to serve, and to obey. Lord, give us the character of selflessness and the willingness to obey. Help us to have the eyes to be able to recognize your call and the ears to hear it. And help us to be able to be willing to go beyond our comfort zones so that we can fulfill your will. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and we know that you are true in our lives. We lift up all these things in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.